Exodus. But this morning, first of all, we would like to turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons. In the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have an holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. But ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. The 7th day is a holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. Now please turn to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day there shall be an holy convocation. And in the 7th day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day I have brought your armies, or hosts, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day, that is the 21st day of the month at even. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. He shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Now this chapter 12 of Exodus is the chapter in which we find the Passover, the original Passover. God was going to deliver his people, Israel, from the land of Egypt. Egypt speaks to us of the world in which we live. And God would have us as his people delivered from the world in which we live. He would not have us in subjugation to this world, to its ways of thinking, to its habits, to its way of life, to its customs, to its traditions, to its fashions, and so on. God would have us delivered from this world. He would have us a people separated unto himself in a very special way. However, before the people of Israel could be delivered from the land of Egypt, it was necessary that the lamb should be slain and that the blood of that lamb should be applied to the doors, the two side posts and the lintel over the door. This was very important because Israel, as well as Egypt, was under the sentence of death. You and I, by nature and by practice, have sinned against the holy God, and we are under the sentence of death. We are verily guilty. The blood of a lamb has been slain. Yea, the blood of the lamb. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. None other than God's beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe someone here didn't know why he died on that accursed tree outside the city of Jerusalem over 1900 years ago. It was for your sins and for mine that he died. His blood has been shed. God had said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And it was necessary for the blood of an innocent victim to be shed, and for that life of the innocent victim to be given before one's sins could be put away. But there was no innocent man or woman in the world. And so it was necessary for God to send his Son into this world to become a human being, that he might grow to become a man, that he might prove himself to be truly God and truly man, and then that he might be nailed to a tree outside the city of Jerusalem on Golgotha's brow, there to bleed, to suffer, and to die for poor sinners like you and me. God had said in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12, the last part of the verse, well, we'll read the whole verse. I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And Israel were in Egypt. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. There was only one way of escape for anyone in the land of Egypt, including the Israelites, and that was the blood of the Lamb had to be slain and applied. Now, the blood of the Lamb has been slain. Our Lord Jesus' blood was shed on Calvary's tree. Has that blood been applied to you by your own personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? This is the issue. Have you trusted him? Are you relying completely upon him for your salvation? Do you know that your sins have been blotted out, have been taken away forever? Because the Lord Jesus died in your place, and your confidence is in him. Do you know that? Oh, if you don't know it, you can know it today. As someone wrote, though the restless foe accuses, sins recounting like a flood. When I look at my life, that's the way it is. I see so many sins. Though the restless foe accuses, sins recounting like a flood. Every charge our God refuses, Christ has answered with his blood. To us our God his love commends, and by our sins undone, that he might spare his enemies, he would not spare his Son. When we were yet helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's you. Do you believe it? And now let's go on to the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But first of all, we want to point out that on the 14th day of Nisan in the evening, which would be about equivalent to our April perhaps, the Passover lamb was offered in Israel, and also in succeeding generations as they celebrated the Passover. This was the beginning of things, the blood to make the Israelites safe, just like the blood of Christ makes us safe as we put our trust in him. The Israelites had the word of God to make them sure. And we have the word of God to make us sure. God said to the Israelites, when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you. And the destroyer shall not come into your house when I see the blood. And when God looks at you and sees the blood of his Lord Jesus Christ, which you have applied through faith in him, then you need have no fear. God has said that you are safe forever. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lamb to make him happy, to make him satisfied. That's what Israel had. And we have the Lamb to satisfy us, to give us the joy of salvation in our hearts, not just happiness, which depends on happenings, but the joy of salvation in our hearts. Now, the Lamb was slain on the 14th day, as we already pointed out, at sunset. This was followed immediately by the putting away of all leaven for 7 days, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread began. And so this Feast of Unleavened Bread began on the 15th day. And the 15th day was the 8th day as well, which means the new beginning. And there's a new beginning for everyone who has put his faith, his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. Have you had that new beginning? You know, over in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 23, God said, I will put a division between my people and your people, that is the people of Egypt, Pharaoh's people. And this word division is literally a redemption, or literally to sever by a ransom, hence to release. So I will put a redemption between you and the ungodly, Israel, who do not come to God and trust him. It's the same word that's translated in Psalm 111:9, the Lord sent redemption to his people. And Psalm 130 and verse 7, with him is plenteous redemption. And also in Exodus 11 and verse 7, that you may know that the Lord has put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. A difference accomplished in a marvelous and glorious manner. The people of God were to be separate from the people of the world. There was to be a difference, a distinction, a separation. Like Psalm 4:3 says, know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. For himself. Same word. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. And Moses, when he was interceding for the people of Israel after they had made and worshipped the golden calf, said, how then can it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not by thy going with us, so that we, I and thy people, may be separated from all the other people who are upon the face of the earth? What made the difference? First, redemption. Redeemed with the precious blood which has been shed. For us, the precious blood of Christ. Secondly, the Lord's presence with us. This makes the difference. We don't need to be like the world. We should have no desire to be like the world, because we've been redeemed and because The Lord's presence is with us. God was going to withdraw His presence from Israel in Exodus 33. And in verse 16, Moses said, no. He says, let us be distinguished from all other people in the face of the earth by your presence with us. That's the distinguishing feature. Those are the distinguishing features. The Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. Can you answer that description? Not in ourselves, can we? But all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, God is not satisfied until he has made us like his Son. Godly. Like God. Like the Son. God will never be satisfied until we're completely like himself. And all the trials and difficulties of life are very necessary to us to produce in us the likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to be different. Like Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now let us know a few things about Notice a few things about the Feast of Unleavened Bread about which we have read. It was 7 days. It lasted a whole week. Having been redeemed, we are to be separated from sin and to live a godly life, because leaven always speaks of sin and corruption in the Holy Scriptures. And so we are to be separate from sin and corruption. The whole week, the whole period of our lives here upon earth, a complete period of time, 7 indicates, and so all the days of our life. We are to put away sin from our lives and from our homes. You notice there's a great stress laid in these passages. We can't read them all. In Exodus 12 and 13, on putting away leaven from their homes. Oh, beloved, today we need to put sin out of our homes. What is it in your home? May God search our hearts. That causes us to sin. Let's put it away. Let's make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Whether it be magazines or books or people or newspapers or television or radio. Oh, the television and the radio can be shut off, and the plug can be pulled. We don't have to look at that which is sin, do we? How about our children? Do they? I think one of the saddest things that I see as I go about the country and visit in so many homes is that the television in many Christian homes has been relegated to the recreation room. And Dad and Mom are upstairs, and their kids are down in the recreation room feeding on sin, that which will corrupt their mind, that which will destroy them for God. I think this is sad. Either that television should be brought where Mom and Dad are so that it can be watched, or it should be thrown out. You know, I visited a family. Excuse me for bringing this in, but last Lord's Day afternoon, I was invited to the home of Dr. and Mrs. Bevan Horton up in Courtenay, British Columbia, a lovely family, young folks. And as we were eating the meal, and there are four lovely children there, the oldest one, teenager 15, and the next one 13, and then a boy about 8, and then a little tiny girl about a year and a half old. As we were eating the meal, Dad said, I don't know how it came up, he said, you know, as a family, we decided to throw out the television. He said, this was not a decision on my part or mother's part, it was a decision on the part of the whole family. And the family all nodded, yes. And Wendy, the 15-year-old girl, said, it's been so much better since we got rid of it. Was my heart ever thrilled? That family, one of the loveliest families that I've ever been in. And what hunger for the things of God I found there. The kids all sat around the table while we talked about the scriptures, and they joined in with it. I give that as an example. You know, these 7 days of unleavened bread speak to us of 7 days of communion with God based on holiness and truth, founded upon the death and blood of Christ. Let's take a 7-day period. Our lives are made up of 7-day periods, aren't they? Sunday, the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, not the last day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. How many of those days is the Lord preeminent in your life and in your home? And how many of those days does the Lord have the place as the head? 7 days. A complete period of time to be repeated over and over until the Lord takes us home to heaven. One of the reasons that we come on the Lord's Day with empty hearts, with no praise for God, is because we've been living all the rest of the week, including the Lord's Day afternoon and evening, perhaps, for this world. For self. And so often God has not been in all our thoughts. There's been leaven in our lives. There's been leaven in our homes. We've been eating unleavened bread. And I don't mean when we sit down at the table to take our meal, you know that. And the Spirit of God is grieved through the leaven, the sin in our lives and our homes. And He's quenched when He tries to deal with us and prompt us to Himself because there's so many other things crowding in upon us. In 1 Corinthians, let's turn to it, chapter 5, we have some very important words, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 6, your glorying, your boasting, your pride is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven, a little sin, leavens the whole lump? A little sin in the life, in the home, permeates the whole. Purge, clean out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. As ye are, we could supply the words, indeed, unleavened. You are indeed unleavened, he's saying to them, because you have been cleansed with the precious blood of Christ. Yes, you are unleavened. God has taken your sin and put it on Christ, and your sin is not on you anymore. You are completely freed from all the penalty of your sin. But he said, you're allowing a little leaven in your lives, a little sin in your lives, and it's beginning to go through the whole lump of dough like yeast does in bread. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are indeed unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. It's past tense. That's the correct translation. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, and that's not the Lord's Supper. That's the whole of life, including the Lord's Supper. Let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now notice, leaven was to be put away just as soon as they were sheltered under the blood of Christ. And leaven is to be put out of our lives and the homes just as soon as we trust Christ as our Savior. The old leaven, which is spoken of here in verse 7, could refer to the old habits which we indulged in before we were saved. They ought to be put away forever. Those old filthy habits, those old selfish habits, have done with them forever. Put them away. That's what he's saying. Clean them out. Get rid of them. And then we read in about the leaven of malice and wickedness. Is there a bad feeling on the part of any toward others? Oh, put it away. Put it away. That's sin. Don't harbor any bad feelings in your hearts toward others. Get rid of them. Do you know that this is one of the things that destroys so many people of God? I've seen it destroy so many young people. Just a bitter feeling toward others, even fellow believers. And it destroys that person that has the bitter feeling. Their effectiveness for God, their life for God. True, they'll be saved, but so as by fire, but they lose their reward. They lose their opportunity to live for God. Because they've allowed this sin of bitterness, of a bad feeling, and harbored it in their hearts. Oh, how dreadful. How dreadful. Let's call sin by its right name. These things which are sin. Let's not wink at these things which are wrong. I'm afraid we've been too easy. I have been. I'm afraid that I've failed to be faithful. So many cases. Oh, the Word of God is faithful. Praise God for it. The leaven of malice and wickedness. And don't think of wickedness as only murder and adultery. Wickedness covers far more than that. You know it. We could turn to Ephesians 4:31. We could turn to 1 Peter 2:1, but we don't have time. And then we read of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees in Luke chapter 12 from the lips of our Lord Jesus. And the leaven of the Pharisees was hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And do you know what I've noticed? The person that points his finger at others of the people of God and says he's a hypocrite, so often the real hypocrite is right here. The one who is doing the pointing is the real hypocrite. Oh, we deceive ourselves. You see, when I point at you, I've got three fingers pointing at me. Don't forget that. Hypocrisy, pretending. Let's be unleavened. Let's not pretend to be. Let's be honest. Let's be forthright. And the leaven of the Sadducees, you know what that was? Worldliness, we'd call it today. Just plain worldliness. The desire to be like the world and a conformity to this world. And that can extend to all kinds of things. Wanting to have a beautiful, powerful car to drive. And I love to see beautiful automobiles, and I love to drive them. But that can be worldliness. And I love to go into a home that's beautifully decorated. And I think we should have our homes clean and in good taste and colorful so that they'll be to the honor and glory of God. But if I make the decoration of my home a matter of the object of my heart, that's sin. If I do it for the glory of God, that's one thing. If I do it for myself, that's another thing. But please don't think that I'm saying that we shouldn't have our homes clean and neat and properly decorated. I think we should. I think it's a disgrace when the people of God are dirty and unkept and uncouth and so on. There's a home in which I had to stay one time, my wife and I, when we went to a place for meetings, and they were lovely believers. At the meeting, you would love them. But when we got into the home, that place was so filthy that my wife had to take a knife and scrape the dirt off of the bottom of her bedroom slippers that she'd worn around the home. That's how filthy it was. The hog houses back in Iowa are far cleaner than I used to work in. I sometimes say pigs at least know enough to go in the corner and excuse the crude expression, but God forbid that we should be like that. But then there's the other side. You see, the pendulum will swing the other way until I make the cleanliness of my home and the beauty of my home my God, so that I don't have time for anything else. See, God would have us to be well-balanced people. We need a balance in this day. And then there's a leaven of evil conduct, which we have here in 1 Corinthians 5, and we've already spoken about that. And then the leaven of false doctrine in Galatians 5:9, in which they were mixing law with grace. And there are all kinds of false doctrines today. The leaven of false doctrine, false teaching. Now, the penalty of leaven allowed in the home and in the life in Israel was, in some cases, actual death. A man who broke the Sabbath on one occasion. In Numbers 15:36, and they caught him breaking the Sabbath, and they went to God to see what to do with him, and God said, stone him with stone. And in 1 Corinthians 5, we find that there are certain sins enumerated which, when a child of God indulges in them, he has to be put away from the company of the believers, put away from among yourselves that wicked person, the chapter ends with. Not that that person could never be forgiven, because 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that that person can be forgiven. And so the second result of leaven allowed in the life and home in Israel was exclusion from the privileges of the people of God. For example, Azariah in 2 Kings 15. Azariah was a man who did evil all the days of his life and terribly sinned against the Lord. And God smote him with leprosy. And he had to dwell in a separate house. The king had to dwell in a separate house from everybody else all the rest of the days of his life because of his leprosy, which resulted from his evil life. In the New Testament, sin results in loss of fellowship with God. 1 John 1 speaks of that in detail. A loss of the fellowship of the soul with God. That's what sin results in. Whenever I allow sin in my life, I break the fellowship between me and God. I don't break the union. That can never be broken. But I break the brittle thread of fellowship between me and the Lord. Now, sin which is harbored in the life and continued in over a period of time in the New Testament can result in loss of fellowship with the people of God. And again, I hasten to say that provision is made upon the restoration of that one who has sinned to God to be restored to the people. When that one who has sinned is restored to God, he can be restored to the people of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 deals with that. Now, our time is gone. There's something that is a theme that's followed through here, which is very important, and that is your children. Now, next time we want to consider the believer's guidance by God. But perhaps we'll take a few moments to notice what is said concerning our children. I think it's very important. And I'm going to read a little hymn to you from the Little Flock Hymn Book, which my wife loves, and I think it is very pointed in connection with our passage this morning, and close with this. Have I an object, Lord, below, which would divide my heart with Thee, which would divert its even flow in answer to Thy constancy? Oh, teach me quickly to return, and cause my heart afresh to burn. Have I a hope, however dear, which would defer Thy coming, Lord, which would detain my spirit here where naught can lasting joy afford? From it, my Savior, set me free to look and long and wait for Thee. Be Thou the object bright and fair to fill and satisfy the heart, my hope to meet Thee in the air, and nevermore from Thee to part, that I may undistracted be to follow, serve, and wait for Thee. I hope that's the desire of your heart this morning. It is of mine. That I may undistracted be to follow, serve, and wait for Thee, Lord Jesus. May God richly bless you, shall we pray. Thank you, Father, for your precious word, for the blood of Christ which cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for these being faithful to us in your word and pointing out to us these things which break our fellowship with you and which can even break our fellowship with the people of God and destroy our lives and effectiveness for you. Help us to remove these things from our lives and to come back to yourself with a whole heart We thank you that you are waiting for us to come back, even running to meet us. Part us with your blessing, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.